Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. So, I figured a little tiny change of pace, sort of. So there's another Spolasky on free will kind of whatever interview. So he's basically has talked to everybody, which is kind of interesting. I guess that's part of book promotion and all that stuff, and you know, I guess that works. So, you know, he must have done 500 interviews. I don't know. It's just so many. And he's finally talking to this buffoon of science, of physics, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay. So, yeah. So this ought to be just awful. And because it's Tyson's show, so it's going to be just some sort of goofball antics on the subject. So he'll either wooify it, you know, or fucktard on it. You know, he won't do anything to enhance human perspective in any way. And he'll just turn everything into shit, because that's all he can do. That's his talent. So anyway, so yeah, that's what we're going to do. So leave us continue. The video has no rational beginning, so...
All of a sudden, I said to myself, is everything in society explainable in this way? And then I realized, oh my gosh, if it is, then our entire moral code has to shift.
Oh, brother. Shift to what? So even that is funny. You know, that somehow ethics are completely changed by some understanding that we're just computing devices. You know, that it's, you know, we have to be programmed. We have to acquire knowledge of a system before we can model the system and produce a reasonable calculation about whether or not we should walk around a tree or whether we should try to walk through the tree. Oh, yeah, you know. We're all going to have to do that as individuals. We have to figure out whether we can walk through trees or not. And, you know, that's all ethics is, too, is just figuring out something obvious like, you know, I don't like having a nail stuck in my eye, so I don't think I'll bother sticking other nails in other people's eyes to evade having nails stuck in my eye. Yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable. I don't like stepping in somebody else's dog do, you know, so I won't let my dog do, you know, where somebody else might be stepping. You know, it's just, well, it's really difficult, huh? Yeah. Oh, ethics is so difficult. No, it's really not.
This is Star Talk. Neil deGrasse Tyson here, your personal astrophysicist.
Oh, personal. He's our personal. What does that mean? God, he just wants to, you can just see it. He wants to be wearing a bikini right now. God, I just hate that I hate people. You know, it's not fun to hate people, but I just have acquired such a disdain for this goofball.
And I got Chuck Nice with me. Chuck, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Why do you have this? Why do you have this parrot? This, whatever it is, this this is what your comfort animal. Yeah, what the hell is this shit?
Neil, thanks for asking.
Okay, Chuck, nice, a professional stand-up comedian, an actor. Here's a
fuck, professional.
Object we haven't yet tackled.
Okay.
Yeah, but this doesn't have much to do with whatever, Star Talk, does it? No, it really doesn't.
It's the subject of free will.
Yes!
It came up in the edges of...
Yeah, I was going to say, we've tinkered around the edges.
Just the edge. And
a couple conversations with Brian Greene, a couple conversations with Heather Berlin, a couple neuroscience conversations
We got another neuroscientist here, Robert Sapolsky.
Ooh.
A neuroscientist, biologist. He's a professor of biology, neurology, and neuroscience, and neurosurgery.
Ooh. Which doesn't make any sense, right? So we know that that's just an honorary degree. So I wish they wouldn't do that, you know, because it's a real thing, surgery. You know, come on. You don't pretend to be a surgeon when you're not a surgeon, right? Come on.
Can you be any more neuro than that?
I think that's all the neuros. I think that's all the neuros.
or neurotic. That's the one. At Stanford University, best-selling author of 8 books. Right, I have one in my hand right now. Came out just months ago.
Wow.
Determined.
I don't even know if it would take that much book, really. Does the subject need that much book? I wonder. Ah, brother.
Science of life without free will.
Wow.
And that's going to be a major subject.
Without whatever it would be, right? So without, you'll automatically do the right thing will, or automatically incredibly skilled will. Yeah, no, we don't have any of that. That's kind of obvious. You have to practice playing the piano. You have to practice hitting baseballs. You have to practice kicking soccer ball. Everything has to be practiced.
Subject of our conversation today. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Well, thanks for having me on.
So he has his comfort animal with him also.
Yeah. But before we continue here, let me just tell our audience, you captured so much of this life's profile in a memoir that you write. Just tell us briefly about your memoir. Then we're going to pick up the free will discussion.
Oh, sort of one of my not even marginally scientific books that I cranked out.
Okay, so yeah, and just more, whatever that is. Yeah, I publish about, and it's just, yeah, it's not really. Well, it's just a story about me going to the store and, trying to deal with the auto checkout. And, it just wasn't going very well, and it hurt my feelings.
A primate's memoir and basically just...
Well, see, that's a decent story. I mean, this whole idea of living with baboons for 10 years, that's not really a memoir, okay? It's a story about what it's like and what the air smells like and all, and that's all stuff that's got some sort of value.
Stories of the 30 odd years hanging out with both the baboons, but sort of places there in East Africa. I was there for one coup attempt. I was there for one civil war.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd mix the subjects, frankly. They're not really the same thing, the human behavior versus the minky behavior, but whatever.
Interesting, colorful place to be a kid from Brooklyn who knows nothing about the outside world. So that was a fun thing to write.
Well, I'm glad you documented that, because if it's a story that others will never have or can't even imagine, that's got to be in print somewhere so that we can access it. Yeah. So
it sort of is. I mean, Gorillas in the Mist and, even the Coco kind of thing. So, lots of stories about our interaction with other simians. And, it's just too bad that very few people take it very seriously in terms of recognizing, that the core of our humanness is what we experience as feelings and emotions, and the intellectual bit, is not all that interesting in a visceral human way.
So tell me, so this is a fascinating birthplace for the ideas that maybe we're not entirely in control of our own behavior. So how did this rise up?
Okay, I can't even imagine how how it has anything to do with the subject of recognizing how your brain functions in terms of this idea that somehow you're automatically good-willed somehow. Somehow we're programmed with some sort of good knowledge when we're not even programmed with the knowledge we can't walk through trees. I mean, we have to learn it. we have to learn not to drink dirty water. We have to learn everything.
To become your central focus thinking about free will.
Well, actually, just to undo all of that, I already didn't believe in free will. I was 14 when I had this incredibly epiphanal night where I suddenly decided there's no free will.
I guess I'll just relate that to my like 9 to 11 kind of period in my life where I figured out I'm a fucking asshole. right? That everything going on in my head was a scheme of some kind. I mean, my friends, I was scheming. I was scheming against my own family members. I was scheming all the time, scheming to look like I'm a good guy or look right or look like this or try to be that. And it was all this pathetic scheming. And it was just so, so crass and yuck. Yeah, it just... You know, the kind of thing where you say, okay, I'll give them this, and I have the expectation that I'm going to get that back. You know, that kind of, all that scheming kind of crap. And I said, yeah, that's all this brain does is scheme. It doesn't. And the only way it's going to scheme in some good way is that I have to force it to. I have to actually inject a principle that says you're not allowed to scheme for yourself. You're supposed to scheme for the overall good. Oh, okay. So, and it's a completely different equation. Then my brain comes up with a completely different answer for what the right thing to do is. And that's when I knew, oh, of course there's no free any of this. You have to actually think about it and you have to have the right information. You don't have the right information about what game you're really playing, which is a game with a bunch of other players in it who are just as valuable as you are. And they really are just as valuable as you. You can't assume you're more important. And in some respects, they might be even more important than you. They actually might cure cancer, and maybe you should devote your life to, you know, jumping in front of puddles for them and, you know, taking a bullet for them or doing something like that, because they're actually more valuable than you are. And your brain should be devoted to protecting them, not protecting you. Not looking out for what's in it for me. It's, you should be looking out for what's in it for them. That whole thing. I mean, realizing that this isn't a single-player game, and the simple truth is that if I play it as a single-player game, I'm failing to play the right game.
I was at it that night, decided there's no God, and there's no purpose, and it's just a big, empty, indifferent universe.
So they think it's all funny. it's all for nothing, all of those Civil War dead, you know, the Civil War injured, right? Because they don't die right away. And they're all writhing in pain on the battlefield. It's all for nothing. Oh, that's so funny. God. It just makes our tragedy so much deeper, our failure so much deeper.
Interesting stuff going on the days before.
Were there mushrooms involved in this?
No. So they always got to bring in the issue of drugs. You know, can't live without, can't think without drugs, can't talk, can't be social without being drunk or stoned or on mushrooms. Oh, I'm so sick of drug culture. God damn. You might as well be mentally impotent, okay? And this is your little blue pill thing. You need your little pill, you know, to get it up. You can't use your brain unless it's stoned on something. Oh, God. Pathetic.
Oh, okay, no, but okay, there was religious trauma instead, which I think is a much more effective way of messing with your head.
So I don't know if it's religious trauma, right? It's just sort of the Jewish social thing. So growing up Jewish is apparently a thing, okay? Like growing up Catholic is a thing. And apparently you have all kinds of psychological issues because of it. Okay, I can always say I was never Catholic or Jewish, so I don't know. You know, we were like Methodists or something, so I didn't really feel any. You know, leaving the church was like, it was like stepping over a mirage. It wasn't really a real puddle, you know. It was just some kind of shiny stuff on the street, so it really wasn't a challenge at all.
Wonderful sort of clarity of, I can't.
You became a nihilist. I think that's
yes.
That's when that word applies, nihilism. Yes.
Right, so that's the difference, right, is that I became a non-nihilist long before I became anything else, I guess, is the argument. You know, that was the first big revelation, was the fact that, oh, fuck, this isn't about me. I wish it was about me, but it's not about me. And that was disappointing.
Yes. So I have not believed in free will since then. So all baboon ecological physiology and all rat, monkey, mice neuroscience did was just add more factoids to, like, we're just machines. We're biological machines.
Wow.
All right, so give us the central points of your thesis, then.
Unfortunately, that's when he'll probably start saying that it's not the asshole's fault that they're an asshole. You know, they can't figure out how to add 1 + 1 and get 2. And is that believable is the first argument. Can you really believe that somebody really doesn't know that 1 + 1 is 2? And that, like, when they're pretending to be a flat earther or they're pretending to be some other kind of thing, that there isn't something else entirely going on. They really do understand that, yeah, that's, you know, yeah, the world's probably a sphere and all that kind of crap. And I'm just jerking off on people. That's all. I'm getting off on being a troll, and this is how I have my sex, is that I play, okay, with people and force them to indulge my nonsense. You know, I shit in their living room and watch them clean it up, and it's funny and exciting. It's exciting when they have to touch my poo. Something like that.
You can't just say, well, I don't think we're free will anymore. Give me some foundations for this.
Well, it's this basic deal where, like, somebody does something and you wonder, like, why that happened, why they did what they just did. And, like, if you want to unpack it, part of the answer to that is because this was going on in this part of the brain a second before, while this part of the brain went silent, or that sort of thing. But you're also asking, wow, well, the person hadn't eaten yet today. They were sleep deprived. They were happy. They were stressed. They were in pain, whatever.
What's the hungry judge effect? That reminds me.
They're just going to go over same old. So this idea that your current condition will just decide how well you juggle, right? So if you have a bunch of your juggler, you're juggling, your brain's a juggling machine, it juggles, and then some asshole is blowing wind, or he's throwing leaves or something in your visual space, or doing something to fuck around with your capacity to focus on what you're doing, and now your focus is getting distracted and changed, and so you're going to lose your practiced agility at doing this process of thinking. So people can interfere with your thinking, but they're really not going to understand, fuck around with your basic understanding. So again, if somebody asked you the question, what's 1 + 1, there's not enough noise. That isn't hard enough juggling. You know, that's this. You know, it's so easy that you can't fuck it up, even if there's a bunch of distractions. So I guess that's how I would get to the point that there are some questions, okay, that are going to require a lot more work for your brain to do than other questions, because you've done them so many times, it's just too automatic and there's no way you can miss. There's really easy basketball shots and really hard basketball shots.
I love it. The hungry judge.
I remember something like 10 years ago, like if you get convicted before lunch, your sentence is higher than after lunch?
Yes, exactly. It was this class.
So this classic, this a classic experiment where there's a tiny little difference. Okay, it's 56, you know, to whatever 49. You know, some little, the numbers are really scantily different. So it's a little tiny percentage, and they turn it into some kind of, yes, it's like a sure thing. You know, judges make completely different judgments when, you know, and of course they really don't. And, you know, it's just kind of a nonsense argument that the basically their whole understanding of the criminal justice system changes depending on what they had for lunch. I mean, it's just kind of, this part's just stupid and ridiculous, frankly. I shouldn't even bother. Right, so let's play the video, Gary. Just play the video.
Classic study preceding National Academy of Sciences, they looked at every parole decision made in this judicial county or whatever over the course of a year, like 1,000 of them, looking at what predicted the judge letting the guy walk versus sending him back for more jail. And the single best predictor was how many hours it had been since the judge had eaten the meal.
Oh, I thought it was definitely how black the guy was standing there.
Oh, well, that's after we...
Brother. It's not like you don't even want to get into it. They're like, you know, we could just do the profiling thing and say, yes, whose fault is that exactly? You know, that there's this gigantic correlation, okay, between the likelihood of somebody, especially now, shoplifting. Yeah. Whose fault is that? It's Whitey's fault? I don't think so. But whatever. I just, this isn't going anywhere good. It's really annoying. All right. So just play the video. Look, we all know that the basic idea of these parolees, it's just, nobody could believe the judge sits there and makes entirely different decisions based on whether he's hungry or not. So whatever the real statistical variable is, it's obviously not the biggest thing. The most detectable way to figure out whether somebody got paroled or not is whether the judge ate. I mean, it's just such bullshit. It's such an exaggeration. I mean, it's just, those are where statistics are lying, okay? So they're just using statistics to create a lie.
The get-getter are the one that explains about 99% of the variability. Once that's sorted out, the other extraneous...
Another variance in the... What's the... Okay. All right, so that's shocking and disturbing, just simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so if the judge... Presumably, the judge is thinking the judge is making the right decision in that moment. But in fact, they don't even know.
They're not even self-aware. Influenced, right.
Because they can't even, if you were, maybe you could correct for it.
By the way, that got challenged for its statistics, and they responded adequately, and it's solid science. And it's been
okay. So at least he's conceding it got challenged by somebody. It sounds real challengeable, frankly. I don't know why he would use an argument like this. It's just such a bad argument. Obviously, we're talking about the periphery again. We're just talking about, sometimes you'll be distracted from doing your job because you don't feel good, okay? And so you just aren't going to do your job as well, right? But how marginal is going to be the difference? And this idea that somehow, it makes this critical difference between whether you serve another 2 days or whether you serve another 20 years. I mean, this whole idea whether somebody's set free or somebody's locked up, that's not likely to be decided based on these trivial discomforts.
Complicated. Do not go and apply for a home loan in a bank if the person you're talking to hasn't eaten for 4 hours. Other versions of that. Interestingly, the more hours a medical resident has gone without sleeping, if they're white, the more implicit bias they show on tests by the end of their sleep-deprived lunatic work period.
So all this stuff is so kind of just... This is like junk science, really. This self-reporting about how I feel or some other, this is not like they're giving them some sort of agility test. Why don't they just leave it to that, rather than, gnaw on somebody's patience? And that's all they're really, really saying is that you can start to irritate people with your testing, okay, if they don't feel very good. If somebody doesn't feel very good, they're not going to be, I'm sure I'm in the mood to take a test. No, they're going to be like, fuck you and your test, okay? Leave me the fuck alone.
What's up with the judges? All sorts of stuff like that. Mild effects, these are not, but they're just...
Mild effects, so why are you bringing them up? Why are you trying to explain this as the way human brains fail? Human brains fail because they get stupid notions in their head, about some... singularity that's going to come to the rescue, or some Jesus or some Mohammed or some other kind of horse shit, and that does more damage to neurology than anything else you could possibly imagine. You want to fail to juggle facts correctly, you know, then try to do it with imaginary objects, you know, or objects that are real that you don't see, you know, that ain't going to work. You know, if you're pulling imaginary levers and you're not seeing the levers that actually make the thing move, then you're not going to be very good at driving the truck or the crane. You're not going to be much of an operator of your system.
Part of this picture of stuff going on underneath the surface. So that's like how many hours it's been since you've eaten. That's, but then you got to figure, like, what have hormones been doing in the last 24 hours?
So I mean, I don't know why he's talking all this much about the little incidental stuff that corrupts who a human is or how a human thinks about who they are, when the big picture is all of this education stuff, the fact that it does take 20 years for us to even learn how to be a sort of a human being. You know, that there's so much information to acquire and so much information to shift, and all of that has to stick or not stick. I mean, you're going to either become somebody that tends to be empathetic towards some idea of an earned economy where the people actually do work, get paid for their work. You know, people who, you know, inherit it, nobody applauds that's, oh, what a great job you did inheriting the money. You know, that kind of thing. The horse that won the race actually gets the little hunk of roses around its neck, you know, or carnations or whatever. You know, some sort of notion of earning, and then some sort of notion of useful, you know, that maybe we shouldn't give people gold medals for jumping the highest because it's not really very useful. You know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make anything in the world better. So let's not give people awards for that. Let's give people awards for curing diseases and stuff. And how that is what's controlling us, and that's what's fettered our civilization, is the very fact that we are rewarding buffoons, okay, and neglecting people who invent the blue LED, for example.
Because they're marinating your brain and having influences. And then you got to figure, what have the recent months, years, decades been like? Did you get traumatized? Did you find God? Did you find love? Did you lose either? What? Because that changes the brain.
And by the way, the food thing, that became an entire commercial line for Snickers candy bar.
Yeah, really?
Are you hangry? Hangry.
Oh, what a great way. And
are you hangry? Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad I missed that commercial. So, hype up your blood sugar. You know, it's just another drug, in a sense, right? The sugar rush.
The most amazing thing is it makes sense. Like, ooh, blood glucose levels are low when you haven't eaten, and it turns out the part
of your
brain...
The guys are crabby. They're all in a car on a road trip. And one guy's just completely crabby. And actually, it's usually some other famously crabby famous person, right? So that's who they turn into.
Oh, so it's the crabbiness. Yeah, so I always had that, right? So I was always complaining, you know. And I was a kid, and so they always had saltines and carrots. So, you know, you give me a carrot, and then I would shut up. You give me some saltines, then I'd shut up. So, yeah, just an anecdote that I didn't get Snickers.
And then they give a Snickers bar, and then they're back to their,
back to their normal self.
That's, oh, finally science influencing commercial America. So reasonably, and it makes perfect, you know, you're looking.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. Your personality is not that flux. It's not that flexible, okay? You don't go from axe murderer to petting the kitten or something. It's just, this is just such a distortion and such a perversion of the function of the actual point, that your will is going to be determined by your environment, that the environment's going to have these stories in it, and these elements in it, and those stories are going to stick with you. You're going to see maybe Gone with the Wind, the movie, and you're going to realize, well, fuck this movie. Look at that Civil War battlefield. Look at that. Just imagine how horrible this must have been. And that sticks with you for the rest of your life, okay? That's the stuff that's going to matter. is, you know, how you experienced, okay, being educated into understanding what your life is and what's been paid for you to be here, and, you know, all of that crap. And that's what makes a human being.
This guy, he looks nothing like you. He's got a background that has nothing in common with you. And you're deciding, is this a person who has reformed? Or, and it takes some work to see the world from this person's perspective. It takes some work to try to think about how they turned out to be different from who you are. It takes work, brain work, and the most expensive part of your brain is the one that you're working at that point. And if you're glucose...
Yeah. So again, how does that in any way relate to this simple question is, are they denying 1 + 1 = 2? Are they truly ignorant and they don't know that 1 + 1 = 2? Okay, so those are two, that's one way to look at it. You know, is this person a shithead because they're too stupid to be anything better? Or are they a shithead because they're smart enough to know they can get away with it?
Those levels are low in your bloodstream. What the hell? Let's just go with an easy answer. It's very mechanistic, and it's exactly what you say. You sit the judge down at that point and say, whoa, that's really interesting. Remember just after lunch, you paroled this guy, and this guy just now did the same thing, and you set him back for another 50 years in jail. What's up with that? And they'll quote freshman year philosophy.
Oh, whatever. Who will quote it? So this is not a real thing. So he just said something that's not real, right? So they're not really about cases where one guy gets set free and the other guy gets 50 years because the judge didn't have the right lunch that day. So that just doesn't happen. It's just bullshit. We're talking about the difference between 25 days and 10 days. Maybe.
They're not going to say, oh, because I was mildly hyperglycemic and my frontal cortex was
delusional. Delusional in their own intent. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So the big takeaway here is, if you are ever before any judge, make sure that you offer them cookies.
Exactly. And the other advice is, find a way to mention that it's your birthday. There's even been a study showing judges give slightly shorter sentences if they're aware it's the...
Okay, so he just said slightly shorter. Oh, I guess, you know... So you're just talking about these little marginal, you know, it's this whole thing, like, what do you think? How is this person going to be affected? All right, so you're sitting there looking at somebody in the eye, and it's going to be a very personal thing in the sense that, look, I'm the judge. I have the authority to give you 5 years or 5 days. All right, so impress me that I don't have to give you 5 years, that you're already a reformed being. You're not an asshole anymore. You understand. Make me understand that. And that's what's really taking place.
Defense, not if yesterday was or tomorrow was.
It's got to be the day.
Terrible social conflict. Conflict number one, we need to protect society from dangerous, rapacious people. Conflict number two, be nice to people on their birthday. And somehow it balances out.
All right, so there's no balancing out. They're completely, yeah, right. So the whole concept that you have to have a deterrence to have a civilization. The fact is that people are by nature a little bit of, steal baby from, candies from babies. People are shitty, all right, by nature. We're selfish, we're ambitious, we're all that stuff, and we will find excuses to cheat if we don't overtly just say, I'm going to cheat. We're willing to do it. If the opportunity looks like we can get away with it and it's, you know, going to make it for our life to be better, we're susceptible. We're seducible. It's that simple, right? I mean, the young girl comes up to you and she's saying it's, you know, she's all willing and it's okay. And, you know, she's going to, and you're going to, what you're saying, I know it's not right. And, you know, all of that crap is going to start falling apart because you're going to be compelled, all right, by the fact that you are corruptible. So the fact that we are corruptible really doesn't have anything to do with this subject of free will, frankly, whether or not we have anything called an automatic smart will, right? Because that would be all that would matter, right? Free will would only mean something if it's a better will, right? That somehow we have some innate ability or our mechanism that makes us better, okay, or improved or intelligent or any of that stuff. And that's the simple truth is that, no, we don't have that. We have to learn all this stuff. We have to learn the skills of how to even manipulate facts that we have. We have to learn what logic is and what the rules of the logic are. And in a way, they're breaking all that right here. They're showing how they don't even care about the rules of logic because they're going to make up some fake way that you acquire your what happens in the world. And these little fake anecdotes don't really have anything to do with 99.9% of the car crashes, right? This isn't the real cause of the brain farting.
And you get a slightly shorter sentence.
By the way, I fully embrace everything you've said. And I've done some recent amateur thinking about free will. And I want to share some of those ideas with you. But they will fully resonate with everything you've said thus far. But I have to bring in sort of the physicist's perspective of free will, where if every action has a preceding action to it, you just take that all the way back till it's no longer in your consciousness, right? And then something set those series of synaptic trips in sequence, and then you end up saying something or doing something.
Right. It's just the fact that everything has, it's wearing a colored shirt. Every person has a way of looking. And everything is going to be associated with those things. So if they're wearing a yellow shirt and they cause you grief, then the color yellow is going to be associated with you having grief, okay? Or, you know, pointy hat versus flat hats versus all kinds of hair back, hair loose, all this little stuff affects and causes associations. And so you end up convicting something before you get to it because it has associations. It has the look of a previous moron. You know, that's simple. There's things that look like they have character to you automatically and things that look like they have no character to you automatically just because of how they're dressed or how they look. Now, unfortunately, I play on that. I prey on it in the sense that I'm saying smart people should be way past being fooled by that kind of bullshit. They already know that books aren't the cover. So, yeah, shitty cover doesn't mean a shitty book. They already know that. So I shouldn't have to explain that, no, I'm not wearing a tuxedo and I'm not being precise and careful. And because I shouldn't have to be. Because you're not an idiot.
Thanks. So the physicist's cause and effect argument. How does what you say dovetail with that, or are you saying something slightly different philosophically?
Actually, very similar. And you know, behavioral sciences, biology, whatever discovered made this major discovery recently, by which I mean somewhere in the last couple of centuries, which is something happened because of what came just before that, and that happened because of what just, and you know, that whole deal. I freak out when we've gotten anywhere near the Big Bang because I understand zero about that, but at the very least, to, and how do you turn out to evolve into the sort of species you are? Yeah, you look at everything and it had a deterministic root.
Yeah, but, okay, so there's the, there is the physics, physiology, philosophical.
You would think that this would almost be a non-starter in the sense that, okay, we'd all agree before we even start talking that we believe in physical cause and effect, and we don't think any of our neurons actually do something magical to make us into something, that there's no arrangement. So there could be noise, but there can't be any instructions. Okay, you know, innate instructions, God-given instructions, God-given corrections to something that's in one place and it jumps to another place because God said you have to be a different person. None of that shit is happening.
Argument that you just gave, and I don't think there's a good argument against it. And let me just expand a little bit for those catching up. The concept of chaos is not just disorder, all right? You can there's certain chaotic systems where you set them into motion with certain initial conditions and you'll get a result, and it's a repeatable result with cause.
And it's not chaos then. It's not by definition chaos. It can't happen, okay? So I'm just saying, chaos can't do that. All right, something with a built-in pattern has to do that. Let's see if there's any way to take that. Some structure has to exist to make that pattern repeat. It can't repeat without a structure forcing it to repeat again. So there's no way you can make a reoccurring pattern without a system that forces that to happen.
And effects determine from start to finish. However, if the system is truly chaotic, an arbitrarily small shift from those initial conditions can produce an infinitely different result at the other end. And so
even if something is precisely unchaotic, that is, every single thing is arranged just perfectly, okay, you can have just a tiny bit of chaos, just a 1/1,000,000th of 1% of chaos, and the whole system breaks because it burns up like a laser beam or some other kind of thing. One little impurity in a crystal and the crystal melts instead of lasers. I mean, that kind of thing. So, you know, this is not a meaningful argument either.
So what it means is you can't realistically predict a future based on these starting parameters you give because of how sensitive the future is to those starting parameters.
Right, but none of that appears to have anything to do with any of the part of the reality we're in, because the system is so dense and so thick, and it's not just one crystal running it. Okay, so it's got so much redundancy in it that there's no way that any one little quirk can change anything dramatically. And our brains work in the same way. No part of you is just one little neuron, and that's the key thing. And without that neuron, the whole thing crumbles. It's more like everything about you is redundant and impervious to being blown up. Like 2 + 2 isn't just one place in your brain. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. It's in a bunch of places in your brain, and it's really hard for it to be destroyed, even if I, you know, start destroying neurons. Even if I destroy a neuron that says 2 + 2, there's another one some way saying 2 + 2.
So like a hurricane.
Yeah, exactly.
Precisely. Like a hurricane. It's like, yeah.
And it's why weather, you can't really predict weather more than like a week in advance. It goes completely chaotic. So all they can do with the hurricane is give what the models all say, and you pick the middle one and work it from there. But every day you get closer to that, the models converge because it's less chaotic. So my question back to you, which you've surely gotten this before, is, okay, philosophically you can say what you did was predetermined, but the way we experience life, we feel we have free will, and isn't that good?
So this is just almost infantilely stupid, in the sense that everything we think consciously and sense consciously is happening at 1/1,000,000th of the speed of your actual brain function. So your brain has done 1 billion processes to make you say the word poo. That was 1 billion processes went on, you know, trillion maybe. Little processes went on, I said poo, okay. So this little tiny word is made out of events that are happening insanely fast, okay, speed of light inside of a tiny amount of space. So you have to understand that density, you're not gonna change it by changing one little millisecond of it.
Good enough?
No, and not only isn't good enough scientifically, it's an awful thing for how life is for lots of people to believe in free will that isn't there, because you give somebody a sense that they had control over how things turned out. forget predicting the future.
It changes society.
It justifies an awful lot. Well, put it this way. Once you buy into my deal that there's no free will, and when you look at all the biological stuff going on from, like, when you were single, fertilized egg.
So all of this doesn't matter, because it's not about whether it's free will or not. It's about what your will thinks, okay, and what your will produces as a statement. So if you're saying it is a single-player game and it's about me, that's the failure. It doesn't matter whether you think you got that from God or you think you got that from the environment and your socialization. It doesn't matter who you blame for that statement. It's the statement that's the problem.
Cell and everything thereafter, when you look at all that stuff, there's
that's
no
the beginning
there.
Right there.
That's
just when you were born. No. When you were
yes, right. Because that actually has a huge influence on stuff. When you there's not a crack anywhere in that edifice in which you could push in something that is completely free of the last, like, centuries of science and how we understand the world to work. So that's great. If you buy into that, you said,
I mean, you can change the probability of somebody, you know, playing the piano or playing the violin. You know, you could make it almost certain that the person plays the violin by raising them one way versus raising them another way. At least, and make it certain that they had exposure to it and they know what a violin is and they know how many strings it has. And, you know, there's things that can be absolutely guaranteed, okay, through exposure. And, you know, flashing the card in front of a kid that says 1 + 1 = 2, okay, it's going to produce a very high likelihood that they'll be able to get 1 + 1 = 2. So, you know, that's not that complicated. It's the fact that people can have this, that they can draw these really bizarre equations, these bizarre statements about 27 divided by 16 equals 5,674,000. That's the part where you're saying, well, how did they come up with that crap? All right, because nobody showed them that card.
Suddenly realize there's something very wrong in that we run the world on the notion that it's okay to treat some people way better than average for things they had nothing to do with, and other people way worse than average for things they had nothing to do with.
Right, and that's a very niche subject where you can just say, okay, that doesn't have anything to do with somebody going to medical school and deserving it, earning it, you know, by sacrificing, or somebody risking their life, you know, going into a fire to go rescue somebody, or some kind of real act of courage, a real act of extraordinary sacrifice where they actually lost their leg or they lose their arm or something. And you recognize the fact that they're entitled, okay, to what their life would have been with that arm as best we can do it. That's what fairness would be. Fairness would be saying, let's fix the unfairnesses that exist in the world. And we don't fix the unfairnesses, and instead we glorify them by glorifying people who inherit it. So I'm just saying, that's such an obvious argument. So instead of using any other argument about the unfairnesses, you could just point to inheritance and say, what does inheritance have to do with anything? Each kid has the same value, okay? It doesn't matter whose kid it is. They all should be treated as they're in the equal race, and they all should be in a race to show they all have merit and they all have potential and they're worth investing in and they're worth rewarding. And that's where the system completely fails, is there's no rational reward and punishment. No one gets punished for their crimes. No one gets rewarded for their good deeds. And that's where the culture has failed dismally.
And then slather on nonsense about this being a just world afterward. And what getting rid of a notion of free will is about is saying...
Yes, it's saying that we're fucked, okay? Is that obviously we haven't, you know, we haven't been able to come anywhere close with all of this sophistication and knowledge and landing on the moon and all of this technology and all this other crap, and we're not coming close to doing any of this stuff. So the whole thing is a big fucking fail. And, procreators, should be discouraged because they're not going to make anything functional. They're just going to make more mess.
Actually, that stuff you had no control over. Ooh, I had no idea.
It's not just, an academic point, is what you're right. saying. To be
not
debated
in, slightest.
In journals, it has very real consequences in our social cultural fabric.
Hello, Stark Talkiverse. Neil deGrasse Tyson here, your host of the Stark Talk podcast. I'm here to announce that we just opened a brand new channel on YouTube called Stark Talk Plus. And that's where we're going to bring all kinds of innovative content that doesn't quite fit on our flagship channel, but they will involve experiments in what we create, what your reaction might be to what we create, and it's going to be our
practice channel. We'll see if it works, and then we'll put it on the other channel. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. What the hell the racket is? It's money. That's what it is. Oh, sorry. The racket is obvious. If you have the same content on two channels, then you can make twice as much money. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, okay. There's a lot of people doing that. It's really irritating. All right, so there was a commercial actually in the video after all. Okay, now I got this asshole. Okay, there. If you have a chance. No, I don't have that.
Saying, and I agree with it, I'm not sure if I'm completely there with the total no free will, just being honest. And so explain to me this. All right, so here's why I agree with you saying. I have a friend of mine, Dr. Mike. Had a patient who tried to sell their baby, okay? And they were a drug addict. So, and his...
These are your friends. These are your friends. I just want to be clear.
No, not the drug addict.
Okay. Who am I sharing a podcast with here? Okay.
And what, they shouldn't sell it? I mean, it's just, yeah, the kid's best chances are getting sold to somebody. Oh, thank you. Somebody who has some money is going to raise me? Oh, that would be excellent. Somebody who's not a drug addict and has some money. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I win.
Go on. So anyway, said to me, that they could not help doing that. And I said, you got to be out of your gourd. Like, what kind of hippy-dippy, commie, liberal crap is that? That you're saying, look, this person tried to sell their child. And then he gave me all this information on how drugs hijack the dopaminergic system and how your dorsolateral
prefrontal. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Oh, dorsomalactic. Dork-molastic.
Frontal cortex and your nucleus accumbens and all this crap comes together and basically you have no control over what you're doing.
All right, so whatever that even means, you have no control over what you're doing. So who does have control? I mean, it's just too stupid. Obviously, you become the rudimentary person that you are, which is just selfish. And you're just saying, I need a fix. I don't have anything else to sell, so yeah, I'll sell the kid. But again, you're doing the kid a favor. If your parents are willing to sell you, you want to be sold. No doubt about it.
Doing.
Your decision tree has been hijacked.
Yes, you are just responding to these things, this cascade that's happening in your brain. And it's really kind of like a neurosynaptic response to something that says, hey, go do this because we need this, and you'll do anything.
Okay, so you're agreeing with Robert. I thought you started this by saying
I am. Okay, now, here's why that's why I agree, because I did all the reading, and it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
However,
here's what I want to know. What about just your regular, everyday decisions? That has nothing to do with this outside force coming in and hijacking a system of your brain. It's just, I want vanilla ice cream right now. I just want vanilla ice cream.
I want pepperoni on my pizza.
Right. So what does that have to do with anything free? Doesn't it have everything to do with what you've learned over time you prefer? Okay. So is that, you've tested your system and said, what does my system prefer? Is that complicated at all? And then you find out, well, yeah, my system has these preferences. I mean, some food makes me sick. Some food makes me really happy. blah, blah, this is not that complicated. So when I go to the store, I'll pick the food that makes me happier. Oh, again, not too challenging.
Force coming in and hijacking a system of your brain. It's just, I want vanilla ice cream right now. I just want vanilla ice cream. Some, you know, so what's...
I want pepperoni on my pizza.
Again, he said the same thing twice. Okay, fine, we get it. Okay. And so what are you saying? That God did it? I mean, again, free doesn't make any sense. You can't have a free will, okay? Free from what? Free from anything controlling it? Any mechanism influencing it? And it just poofs into existence, the will? It's just vanilla for no reason. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It has to be either, you want either a well-educated, well-disciplined, sensible, logical will, are a reckless, sloppy, stupid, ignorant, fucktarded will. Those are the two choices. The choices aren't any other choice. There's no other fucking choice. There's no free choice. All right? There's either just asshole, selfish, cunt, reckless, sloppy, lazy, or disciplined. Okay, I have to eat some vegetables. Oh, that's right. If I eat that, my cholesterol goes up and I might die. Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's either the smart will or a stupid will. Period. Period. Okay, well, you know, let's go to 60 minutes.
I want pepperoni on my pizza.
Because, Robert, these are... I'm going to see this movie tonight instead of this other movie.
Right.
These are the power we have over our lives. Small examples.
We have power. Again, who has power? Your brain is telling your brain, okay, what it wants. What is the big mystery, okay? It's just your brain. Your brain did it. And why did your brain do it? Because it was programmed to do it. That's why. Your brain is just like any other synthesized intelligence, just like any AI or just like any computer or just like any iPhone or just like any thermostat. It's just a tick, 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 tick device. It just goes through the bits, okay, processes the input and produces an output. And every single tick and every single wheel turn, okay, is there for a reason, okay? It's been created by a previous condition. Your experience, your life experience. Who said what to you? Who stuck their finger up your butt? All that stuff will be... decide what the fuck you say when it's time to decide what ice cream to eat.
That they are, all right? This is the power over our lives that gives us this illusion that we have free will, and we're perfectly content thinking that. You're saying there's some physiochemical, biomolecular thing that makes me choose strawberry instead of vanilla tonight.
Yeah, which is also saying there's this cultural thing. Which is also saying how you were raised and what lullabies were sung to you have a neuro... that it's all...
Yeah, if you whether you saw a Snickers commercial.
Hmm. Well, they only gave me crackers.
One of the, okay, let me give you a sense of this with the drug guy. If you happen to make a really stupid, rash decision and pick the wrong womb... to spend 9 months in, and your mother was very stressed during the pregnancy, as a result, your brain would develop fewer of those dopamine neurons. Mm-hmm. And as an adult...
Okay, so this is an epigenetic thing going on.
Epigenetic, exactly.
So that's... Epigenetics really isn't about womb. Okay, so that's just bullshit. And so that comes before... That's destroying eggs, okay? The epigenetics has nothing to do with... positive evolution. Epigenetics is all just about how women can break their eggs, so to speak. They can fuck them up. Period. That's it. There's no possibility of any kind of I'll take my vitamins and my eggs will get better. You can't make them better. You can just make them worse. So even that science, they don't get right. There's no positive epigenetic evolution. That's why the epigenetic evolution is so crude. That's why the mechanisms it's controlling is so unevolved. It's because it really can't evolve. It can't send the signal to the other thing and say, this is the new improved version. It's not making a DNA code. It's just such, it's so wrong to talk about the mitochondrial DNA and say that DNA contains who the human's going to be, when that's just about maintaining the structure of the physical machine. That's just saying, will the machine have the right parts in it? Well, you know, are the capacitors going to explode? Are they precision transistors? That's, it's just fucking with the hardware. It's not fucking with what the software can do. All right, anyway. So, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. I don't know if I'll play the rest of this or not. It's just so, I just don't like anybody. Yeah, everybody's really just irritating to listen to. I hate it. Yeah, I just don't like anybody. And that's unfortunate, too, because, you know, I'm interacting. And, you know, it'd be nice if the interactions were pleasant and fun, but they're not. So tough shit. Yeah, I just endeavor to persevere and do whatever I can to make whatever statements I can make that in some way will influence your neurology in some sort of positive way to reflect on the fact that you are in fact an asshole, that your selfish desires really shouldn't be something you impose on others, you shouldn't project and obligate other people to be slaves to what you want the world to be, or what you want the future of mankind to be, or what you want the future of the earth to be. You really don't have the right to force a bunch of organisms to be slaughtered so you can, you know, eat a Cheez-It 10,000 years from now. Your little Cheez-It pleasure is not worth the pain you cause. Just a simple fact.